So Rav Bolsai, you know, we have Hanukkah coming around the bend. It's already, what is it, the 4th of Kislev. And I figured if we're using olamot.net, maybe I could find something relevant to Hanukkah. And I found an article, an essay here called Persume Nisa. And I thought we would learn it together.
Hi, Rabbi.
How are you?
Okay,
good. Thanks for joining us. This is Yechiel Coleman here online. Okay. All right. So we're talking now about Ner Chanukah. And we're going to look at a Gemara here on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis in Perek Bamem Adlikin in Shabbos. Of course, that's where the sugi is in Ner Chanukah. And that will be the first source on your page. Amar Rava. Rava wants to know what happens if you have a limited amount of funds and you have to choose between the following two possible mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Ner Chanukah and the other mitzvah is Kiddush Hayom. So you could buy yourself a cup of wine and make Kiddush, or you could use that money for Ner Chanukah. And you and I would have said intuitively that Kiddush Hayom should take precedence for a variety of reasons. But no. Rava says Ner Chanukah takes precedence. Adif. And why? Mishum Persume Nisa. Because Ner Chanukah has an element of Persume Nisa. Kiddush Hayom is not Persume Nisa, and it's lacking that dimension. And you get the impression from Rava that the essence of Ner Chanukah is Pirsum HaNes. And it's so essential that it puts Ner Chanukah on a very high pedestal. Now on the side, before we get into some of the issues about the obligation and the kiyum of Pirsum HaNes, let's just say the following. Number one, Pirsum HaNes is a dimension that applies not just to Ner Chanukah, but also to Mikra Megillah. And in both of these mitzvos, we find a phenomenon that we don't find in other mitzvos, just these two, that's Chanukah and Purim, and that is a double bracha. We have a bracha, Asher Kitshonu B'mitzvosav, that's classic, and then a second bracha, Shasa Nisim Lavosenu. Now, I'm not sure exactly how to classify that second bracha, but I would be tempted to think that that bracha is a birchas hamitzvah. And why? Because the Gemara in Masechta Megillah applies the principle of over lasiyasan not only with regard to the first bracha, asher kitshonu b'mitzvosav, but even with regard to the second bracha, shasa nisim. And over lasiyasan is a principle that applies to birchas hamitzvah. I submit to you, therefore, that in these two cases of Chanukah and Megillah, we have two brachas on the mitzvah. Now, one mitzvah gets one bracha, not two brachas. And the answer might be what? Joe, say it out loud. I mean, I can't read your mind.
I'm trying to read your mind.
My mind is easy to read, you know. It's a little bit far away from you. But
it's two different mitzvahs.
You feel a little bit closer. Exactly, the two mitzvahs. We think that Ner Chanukah is one mitzvah. We think that greeting the Megillah is one mitzvah, but really it's two mitzvahs. Now, if it's two mitzvahs, it deserves two brachas. And that's hence the second brach of Shasa Nisim. What is the nature of that second mitzvah? Or that second kiyum? One maisa, but two kiyumim. What is the nature of the kiyum of Pirsum HaNes? I heard once from my Rebbe, the Rav Zuchon of Racha, he wanted to suggest that Pirsum HaNes is a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. As soon as we can publicize the divine intervention and the miracle of Hashem for the sake of Klal Yisrael, that publicity will engender a mitzvah, a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem, v'nikdashti b'tof b'nei Yisrael. But this will lead us to a second question, and it becomes very relevant in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. What would be if you could only be mefarsim the Nes to non-Jews? Let's assume you were the only, there are many stories about this, maybe you know some of those stories, but you find yourself to be surrounded by non-Jews, you're the only Jew. Would you have a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes? If you're saying it's Kiddush Hashem, then the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem applies v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, b'fnei asor mi'Yisrael. Here you don't have any Yisraelim around. Or do we say perhaps that there is Kiddush Hashem even in front of Goyim? Alternatively, I could raise the following question. Even if I assume there's no Pirsum HaNes in the presence of Goyim, because the Torah says, V'nikdashti b'tof b'nei Yisrael, but nevertheless, maybe the din of Pirsum HaNes is not a halacha b'fo'al, but rather it's halacha in the ner. The ner has to be a ner that's royal of Pirsum HaNes. Now, who's around, that might be totally irrelevant. So, for example, I might be able to light a candle on my block, in my house, in a way that no one could see the candle. But the candle itself is royal of Pirsum HaNes. Am I obligated to open up the shutters and make sure that everyone could see it? And this is another sugi that we'll get to about Shas Sakana V'Elech, that up until the time that it was the Sakana, the mitzvah of their Chanukah is mi Pesach Beso umi Bachutz. That makes the Ner into a Ner that's royal at Pirsum HaNes. Will 10 Jews pass by? I don't know. Maybe there's there's something going on. You know, the prime minister came and the Jews are busy welcoming the prime minister. Nobody came by to see my Ner Chanukah, but at least the Ner was placed in a position that it could be mefarsim, and it lends itself to Pirsum HaNes. But if on the other hand he lights the Ner Chanukah on his house, on his table, in his dining room, then the Ner is not situated in a location which lends itself to Pirsum HaNes. Perhaps in that case he's not Yotzei, but then you have to know, what does the Gemara mean, Mishas Sakana V'Elech, when it became a matter of Pikuach Nefesh, and the oppressors, the anti-Semites, would not allow us to get away with an Ner Chanukah outside, so the Gemara says, Meiniach al Shulchan V'Dayo, and presumably what the Gemara means is that, even though the Ner is not royal at Pirsum HaNes, I still have the basic kiyum of Hadlaka. But then you'll have to ask the question, so why do I make two brachos if the second bracha is on Pirsum HaNes? These are some of the issues that we have to relate to. Another issue, by the way, that we have to relate to is that if you're going to claim that Pirsum HaNes is only in front of Asar Yisraelim, what happens if the Jews in my neighborhood are Mechalei Shabbos? What's the status of a Jew who's a Mechal Shabbos with regard to Pirsum HaNes? Is it enough that he's born Jewish? Or does he have to be halachically a Jew as opposed to a Mumar Lechil Shabbos, again if it's Befar Hesya, who is considered Kigoy Lechol Dvarov? Without getting into the whole issue of what's called Tinok Shenishpa, that maybe the Jews in our time, they don't know any better. So maybe they don't have the status of a Mumar. I don't know. And this is, by the way, in the poskim, a very heavy issue, whether you could count for a minyan a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesya. Now we have another issue. The Gemara is going to tell us about the Zman of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. And that's called Achetichle Regel Min Ashuk. In other words, Pirsum HaNes is conditional on the fact that there are people out there in Rosh Hashanah who are passing by and seeing my Ner Chanukah. After Tichle Regel Min Ashuk, there's no longer a possibility of Pirsum HaNes. And now the question is, can I light my Ner Chanukah with a bracha after this period of time of Tichle Regel Min Ashuk? And that's going to lead us to a much more fundamental question, and that is, what is Tichle Regel Menashuk? Is that relative? Does that change from one location to another, from one time period to another? Like, for example, when I was researching the laws of Yichud, so there's halacha Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, that if a man and a woman are alone together in an otherwise private place, but the door is open and people can pass by L'Rishus HaRabim, and the post will want to know until what time of the night is that possible. And it's very interesting, the Chazon Ish says that in our day, people pass by at all hours. You know, it's not limited till 10 p.m., you know. So what happens with that Shetichle Regel Menashuk? Is that relative to time and place? Another dimension that I wanted to cover tonight is what happens in the case of Erev Shabbos. We know that on Erev Shabbos, we have to light the candle before Shkia. What happens to this whole halacha of Mishetishka Chama and Shetichle Regel Menashuk? That's the period of time in which the Nair becomes very clear, because the Gemara always applies the principle that during the day is Shraga Batira Maimahani. Nobody sees or takes note of a candle during the day. Or, for example, Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos could very well be after the Zman of Tichle Regel Menashuk, especially if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that, you know, that Laila starts much later. Again, this would, in a sense, push me or pull me towards the direction that Ad Shetichle Regel Menashuk is relative. It's not set in stone. And it could be that on Motzei Shabbos we're going to have to stretch it a little bit when we say Tichle Regel Menashuk. And then we get to some very interesting contemporary issues. Like, for example, could I be Mekayim the mitzvah of Pirsim Hanes if I'm in Siberia or I'm on the North Pole by Skyping? That's interesting. And other people can tune in on Skype and they can see my Ner Chanukah over Skype. Or, for example, over the radio. Well, I shouldn't say the radio, I guess I should say television. Right? Because I don't know exactly how you do Pirsim Hanes over the radio, but at least over television, you can do it. Then I want to know the following. Is it possible that because Ner Chanukah has this element of Pirsim Hanes, that I could ask a child who's normally not subject to Shlichus, right? Shlichus requires a Bar Chiyuva, but nevertheless, in this case, where the whole purpose of setting up a Ner Chanukah might be Pirsim Hanes, maybe the child can function as a shliach, as a vehicle for Pirsim Hanes. His nair is not inferior to my nair, and his lighting can generate a Pirsim Hanes. So in order to analyze these questions, and I think the most profound question is whether or not Pirsim Hanes is essential to the very essence of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, or maybe Pirsim Hanes is just a secondary or a Tosefes Kiyum, and therefore if I'm all alone, for example, you know, a Robinson Crusoe of sorts, and there's nobody around, I could be Mefarsim the Nes to myself. Maybe that's also a kind of a Pirsim Hanes. We have to see the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, which, if you have the Maram HaKomos, is going to be the second source on page 1. The Gemara says the following. What happens if you light an Er Chanukah and it goes out? Do you have to rekindle the lamp? So that's Machlokas, where the Kav says Zakik La or Ein Zakik La. And the Gemara concludes that Kav saw Ein Zakik La. You don't have to rekindle the light. I assume this is all familiar to you. There's nothing new here. But what's new is the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Raminu, I have a brisa that contradicts that, because the brisa says mitzvasa mishetishka chamat shetichle regel manashuk." The Gemara assumes that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the brisa establishes that it has to be lit during an entire period of time, from Shkia until Tichle Regel Menashuk. If that be the case, then kavsa zakukla, meaning if you didn't have it lit over this period of time, it went out in the middle, you're going to certainly have to rekindle it. So how can you tell me we paskin kavsa ain zakukla? So the Gemara offers two interpretations of this brisa. The first is the ilo adlik madlik. The brisa didn't mean to say that you have to have it lit for that period of time, but within this period of time you can light the Ner Chanukah. Once you light the Ner Chanukah within this period of time, if it goes out, is ein zakukla, you don't have to rekindle it. The inami, another way of learning the brisa, is lishiura, which means that you have to put enough oil in the Ner so that it could last for that period of time. From Shkiyas Achamad Shetichle Regel Min Ashuk. And the post can say how long of a period of time, how much oil do I have to put in my Ner Chanukah? Kechatzi Shah. From the time of Shkiyas Shetichle Regel Min Ashuk is a Chatzi Shah. So let's just review the two answers of the Gemara, the two interpretations of the Raisa. According to the first answer, you need that within that period of time, from Shkia until Tichla Reg Mashuk, to light the candle. And once that Zman passes, it's too late to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. It's after Tichla Reg Mashuk. That's the first answer of the Gemara. Then we have the second answer of the Gemara. The second answer says that you need a shear of Shemen in order to last for that period of time from Shkia until Tichla Regel Min Ashuk. In both answers, if you lit properly within that period of time, according to the first teretz, or alternatively you lit properly because you added the amount of shemen that could last for that period of time, and then after you lit the candle it extinguished, is ein zakukla, you don't have to relight the candle. Now, the Gemara itself wants to analyze how do you define Tichla Regel Min Ashuk? Regel means the last passerby in the Shuk. Tichla, the last one. He's gone. So Gemara says, Ad Kama. Well, you know, there are always people around the Shuk. What's your barometer to determine that there's no longer anyone in the Shuk? And Gemara answers, Adikalia Ragla de Tarmidoi. Till the last one of this group called Tarmidoi has left the Shuk. Rashi has a detailed presentation as to what Tarmidoi is. Rashi says, Shame Uma. By the way, Rabosai, if Rashi says it's a Shame Uma, what do you know? They're not Jews.
Not Jews.
Yeah, Rashi would not say Shem Umah if he was referring to Jews. This is very interesting that the period of time at Shetichla Regel Min Ashuk, which is generating Pirsum HaNes, is going to be determined by Shem Umah, by some Umah by the name of Tarmidoi. Very fascinating. Who are these guys? I mean, what's special about the Tarmidoi? So Rashi says they are the last to linger in the Shuk. Why? Melakte Eitzim Dakin. They are the wood collectors for fires, for campfires. Umis Akvin Mishuk. Why are they lingering late into the night? They're always hoping that someone will come out to buy wood, because lo and behold, he has to keep his campfire going. Right? In a freezing winter, they didn't have the heat that we have. And he's desperate, so he goes out to the Shuk. And he looks for Tarmidoi, he looks for this Umar to purchase some wood for his fire. And Rashi says, Mis'akfim b'shukat shaholchim b'nei ashuk l'bateyem, until they realize that no one will linger in the street, in the marketplace. The marketplace is absolutely it's absolutely dead. And that's after Mishachashecha, when it gets very dark out. Umavirim bibateim ar ukshetzrichem liyetsim yotzim ekonomihem. Fine. So Rashi speaks about these wood sellers who are not Jewish, they stay, they linger in the shuk until the time that they assume no one else is going to come out and avail themselves of their services and purchase the wood. Now let's just think. According to the first teretz of the Gemara, that you're allowed to light in this period of time after Shkia, when the Nair is meaningful, up until Achet Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, it would seem that perhaps after the Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, there's no possibility of fulfilling one's mitzvah of Nair Chanukah. So again, what I'm raising is the following question. According to the first teretz in the Gemara, that the time period for Ner Chanukah is between Shkia and Achet Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, what happens after that period of time of Achet Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk? Do I have an obligation to light the Ner and make a bracha? Or maybe it's too late. Over Zmano Batel Karbono. Then we ask the following question according to the second answer. If you need enough oil in the candle to last until Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, is that something that's kavua, that's absolutely set in stone? You determine when is Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, call it a half hour after Shkia, and that's absolute for anybody, anywhere in the globe, or is it relative? In this place, Achet Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk means until the Tarmidoi drop out. But as we said before, in our context, maybe Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk is much later. So we're not setting up an absolute standard. It's not like a low plug kind of situation, but rather Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk will change relative to the place and the time. So let's go back to the first question. Can I light... Am I obligated to light and I make a bracha on Ner Chanukah even after Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk? So for this, we have to look at Tosfos. Tosfos Dibra Maskel De'ilo Adlik Madlik. Says Tosfos, Milashana Gemara, based on the language of the Gemara, Mikan V'Elech Over Azman. After this time period, it's no longer possible to be mekayim the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That's what Tosfos says. However, the story doesn't end there, because Tosfos, and again, it's a little, you're going to have to help me over here because I have a problem here. I couldn't find a plug here. It's getting dark here in Yerushalayim already. It's not 8:30 in the morning here. So unfortunately I have a little bit of an electric problem here. But so check me out. Tosfos now quotes a second opinion. Okay? The re, and he says, Yeshli Zar Ulahadlik Balila. Miyad. Shelo ye'ocher yosef midai. He can't lie too late. Umikol makom im icher yadlik misafek. In other words, Tosfos is assuming that according to the first teretz, that the brice is interpreted as giving me the period of time, the span of time within which I can light. Enochinami, after that period of time, Achet Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk has passed, I have no possibility of lighting. Your mitzvah is gone. However, excuse me, there's also a second teretz in the Gemara. And Tosfos says that according to the second teretz of the Gemara, he can light later on. The brice is only giving us a shear in the Nair, but not a shear in Zman. And therefore, Yadlik Misafik. Why? Because Ika B'Gemara, Mishani B'Gemara, Shinuye Achrita. Since the Gemara offers a second answer, we have to be Choshesh for the second answer. And therefore, he's got a light even after Tichle Rega Min Hashuk. Then Tosa says, L'ri Nira, the Ata, now in our time, Ein Lachush Masa Yadlik. We don't have to be worried about the time that we light. The Im Ein Lanu Hekera El Bnei Abayis. The Anu, I'm sorry, Ein Lanu Hekera Ella L'Bnei Abayis. In our time, our Heker, our Pursimanes, is for the Bnei Abayis, is for those members of the household that are inside the house, Sherei Madlik Bifnim, because we light on the inside. So Tosis is describing a reality in which we light the Ner Chanukah on the inside of the house, and it means that the Pursimanes is not for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim that walk on the outside, but the Pursimanes is for the Bnei Abayis. And if that be the case, he's allowed to light after the Zman of Kolsa Regel Ben Ashuk. He doesn't mention that you light with a bracha, but the impression you get is that there's a major shift here, historically, in terms of how to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsimanes. We need to light during a period of time with this Pirsimanes, that's for sure, according to the first teretz of the Gemara. However, that time period is only relevant when you're lighting on the outside of the house to be mefarsim to the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. But today, in our time, says Tosfos, that we're lighting not for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, because Ein Lanu Hekera El Bnei Abayis. Therefore, we light on the inside, and we can be mekayim the mitzvah of Pirsimanes even after Tichle Regel Min Hashuk. Now again, Tosfos doesn't discuss the following issue. Well, when are the Bnei Abayis around? You know, at some point or other, even the Bnei Abayis go to sleep. Maybe I have to wake them up. Or maybe Tosfos means to say that since they may wake up, or I could wake them up, that's enough. And even after Tichle Regel Min Hashuk, I have the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So, Mimanavshach. No matter which teretz of the Gemara you take, Tosfos says in our time, you certainly are going to be obligated even after Tichle Regel Min Hashuk. The Bnei Rishus HaRabim are no longer there in the Shuk. Mimanavshach, whether you take the first teretz or the second teretz, you're going to be obligated to light Ner Chanukah at this late stage. Why? According to the second teretz, it's only a shear in the Ner. So I have a shear in the Ner. According to the first teretz, I have Pirsimanes for the Bnei Abayis because we're lighting on the inside of the house. That's all fine and dandy, according to Tosfos. However, the Rambam disagrees. Take a look at the Rambam, which you'll find on page 2. Let's see if we can make it out here. It's Perek Dalet, Behilchas Chanukah, Halacha Hey. And the Rambam writes, Shachach o hizid v'lo hidlik im shkiyas hachama, madlik v'holech ad shetichle regel min hashuk. V'kama huzman zeh, kimo chatzi sho yeseh. And if you have any doubt about what the Rambam's position is, look at the next five words. Of our zman zeh, eino madlik. Eino madlik. So it's quite clear that the Rambam understands that Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk is an absolute time period that the mitzvah terminates after that time period. And the Rambam defines that time period as a Chatzi Shah. It sounds like the Rambam is accepting the first teretz of the Gemara. And Tosfos himself admitted that in the context of the first teretz of the Gemara, you have up to this period of time and not beyond. Tosfos just pointed out that in our day and age, we're not going to place the Ner Chanukah on the outside of the house, we're going to place it on the inside of the house. However, the Rambam doesn't know that. He doesn't recognize that situation. According to the Rambam, we're lighting the Ner Chanukah on the outside of the house, and the Pirsimanes is for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. If there aren't any Bnei Rishus HaRabim, because it's after Tichle Regel Min Hashuk, forget it. You're talking about a Ner Chanukah that's totally devoid of Pirsimanes, and therefore the mitzvah is lost. Now go back for a minute to page 1, and you'll see the Chidushei HaRashba. The Rashba says the following, that Miu Ilo Adlik, if he hasn't lit before this period of time, right, it's the end of the first column, going up to the second column, the middle column, he says, Madlik Velo Hifsit, Ela Keosa Mitzvah Shalot Ketikuna Ligamri. It sounds like the Rashba is defining Pirsa Manes as an additional embellishment of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but it doesn't define the very essence of the mitzvah. And therefore he has a mitzvah kitikuna and a mitzvah shalom kitikuna. The mitzvah kitikuna will apply when you can obtain both kiyumim. And that Pirsa Manes is obtained when you light bizmano before Tichla Regev and Ashuk. However, if you delayed, then although you forfeit the kiyum of Pirsa Manes, you still have the basic kiyum of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, and that's called the Mitzvah Shalom Ketikuna. Now how do we paskin Halacha L'maisa? So for this you'll have to turn to page 3. And what we're going to see on the third source of page 3 is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef.
So I'm sorry, the Kedusha Rosh says that you should
Below Hifsid means he hasn't forfeited the mitzvah.
He makes a bracha? He makes the bracha?
I don't know. It's hard to say. My impression is he does make the bracha according to the Rashba. I don't know. I can't promise you. The Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef. And he writes that this whole issue about after Tichla Regel Men Ashuk is a Sfeika Dedina. That's what he quotes in the name of the Beis Yosef. And he adds, V'im Kain, if the Beis Yosef is right, then Ein Levarech. We have to drop the bracha. Now, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Because this is the same author of the Beis Yosef. And that's on page 2. In Tafrei Shayin Beis, Sif Beis, he writes, Shachach o hizid v'lo hidlik im shkiyas hachama, madlik v'holei chad shetichle regel men ashuk, shukumot chatzi shah, so far it's word for word the Rambam, sha'oz ha'am ovrim v'shovim, v'ika pirsim anes, hilkach tzarch litei b'shemen, kozeh hashir. So he passes basically like both answers in the Gemara, Lechumra. Number one, you have to light within that period of time, which is a half hour after Shkia. And number two, he's got to put the Shemen that could last that long. In fact, he goes as far as saying that if he puts Shemen beyond that volume that was necessary, he can extinguish the light. He doesn't have to keep it going. So what's the deal if Avar Hazman? Now I'm just looking for the Shulchan Aruch. Just 1 second. Where is it? Oof. Where did it disappear on me? Okay, I'm not finding it right now.
It's the last line of the Shulchan Aruch on page 2.
The last line. Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. You see, Yudi, you're always a great help.
Can only try.
Yeah. He says, Hani milu chatchila, avolim avar ze hazman velo hidlik, is madlik veholech Kolalayla. At this point, he parts ways from the Rambam. The Rambam said explicitly that Ovar Zman Azeh Eino Madlik. And he's saying, no, he could madlik the whole night. And the impression you get is that you can make a brach on it. If you take a look at the Mishnah Bura, that's Nobi Yud Aleph, he says the following. He says, "Holechu mad l'kol alayla ad alos hashachar." Okay, that's interesting. And then he says, "Ubibracha." In other words, according to the understanding of the Mishnah Berurah in the Shulchan Aruch, he can light throughout the entire night until alos hashachar, and he makes a bracha on it. In other words, we ask the following question. It seemed to us, based on Tosfos, that the first answer to the Gemara would require that you light Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashuk. True, we can fall back on the second answer of the Gemara, but then we're still in a situation of a Suffolk. And therefore the Magen Avraham rightfully tells us that he should light after Tichla Regel Min Hashuk because of the Sveika Dedina. And the Magen Avraham therefore says, V'chein mashma, v'chein mashma she'ein ein levarech. We have here a very strange machlokes, if you will, between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. The Magen Avraham, for his part, is saying that you look in the Beis Yosef and you'll see that whether or not we can light after Tichla Regel Min Hashuk depends upon the two answers of the Gemara. We're left with, says the Magen Avraham, a Sveika Dedina. In a Sveika Dedina situation, he says, we don't make a bracha. But when we get to the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, Madlik V'Holech Kol HaLaila, the Mishnah Berurah says, with a bracha. So it's no longer a Sveika Dedina. Then there's a very strange shift here, as if to say that from the Beis Yosef over to the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Kaira changed his mind, and what seems in the Beis Yosef to be a Sveika Dedina without a bracha becomes a Vadai with a bracha. I don't know exactly how that happened. So to try to get a grasp on that, we're going to take a look at the Mar Uktzia. For that you have to turn to page 4. Oh, now I don't see it on page 4. Just one second. Okay, so the Baruch Tzi actually is not here, but you'll see it in the Mikrai Kodesh. And we've mentioned on many occasions that the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim back in the day was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He authored a book called Mikrai Kodesh. And in the second paragraph, where you'll see the pointer on the right, he mentions the Baruch Tzi. And the Baruch Tzi is going to try to reconcile the different perspectives here of the Beis Yosef on the one hand and the Shulchan Aruch on the other hand. He says the following: Habracha al hadlokas ner Chanukah shonu b'mahusu b'kol birchas ha-mitzvahs. According to Rav Yaakov Emden, there's a fundamental difference between the bracha on ner Chanukah and the bracha on other mitzvahs. The afal pi she birchas ha-mitzvah eino ma'keves b'kiyum ha-mitzvah kol b'kol birchas ner Chanukah ma'keves. We cannot fulfill the mitzvah of ner Chanukah without a bracha. Mishum shekol ikra lepirsume nisa. I would underline those words 5 times over. Kol ikra lepirsume nisa. It's right where the pointer is. The essence of Ner Chanukah and its kiyum is pirsumanes. Ner Chanukah equals pirsumanes. V'chi madlik, here's the chiddush. B'li bracha. If he lights the Ner without a bracha, lo midi avid, shaharoa savar shalitzarko hu adlik, v'lo minkara milsa klal dilashem mitzvah ka'avid. We need an agent, some sort of catalyst, to transform this ner from a ner litzarko into a ner lashem mitzvah. That heker defines the ner. And why? Because without that heker, we're lacking pirsum anes. If the roa interprets this ner as a ner litzarko, again, in our context, that's a little bit wild, but in their context, when they didn't have electricity, it was litzarko, the ner adds light, it's lo minkar milsa. So what agent what catalyst here is going to function to change and transform the Ner from Litzarko to a Ner L'shem Mitzvah? And that is the Bracha. The Bracha itself is inherent in the Chefza. It impacts on the Chefza and gives it the element of Heker, which facilitates the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Without the Bracha, there's no Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank tries to embellish this lumpus of Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, She'ein birchas lahadlik ner chanukah kishar birchas ha-mitzvah, she'ein rak bracha al-mitzvah, he chelek miguf ha-mitzvah. In this case, the bracha is an integral part of the mitzvah itself. Why? Because, as we said before in the Maruk Tzia, the ikar ha-mitzvah is the pirsum ha-nes. And how do you achieve the pirsum ha-nes with the bracha? Without the bracha, there's no pirsum ha-nes. And therefore, he says, the normal halach of safek brachos lahakel, that if you're not sure, you leave out the bracha, we drop that principle here in this context with regard to Ner Chanukah. The kevan shabracha makevis v'chelik me'etzem mitzvahs hadlaka, din habracha kan ki etzem asiyas ha-mitzvah. Just like we apply the principle of safek l'chumra to obligate you in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you don't know whether you can fulfill the mitzvah after the time period of Tichla Regel and Ashuk. So within the context of Safik Lahachmir, we add the bracha as well. The bracha is no longer a separate entity. When the bracha is external to the mitzvah, so you say, well, the mitzvah I have to do because of Safik Lachumra, but I don't make the bracha because with regard to bracha, I have Safik Brachas Lahakim. But when the mitzvah and the bracha are one and the same, and they're identical, meaning the bracha is part of the guf ha-mitzvah, then to the same extent that I say l'chumra in the asiyas ha-mitzvah, I say l'chumra l'chaivo in whatever is included in the asiyas ha-mitzvah, and that includes the bracha as well. And therefore we see two chidushim here in this presentation of the Mikra'i Kodesh. Chidush number one is that pirsum ha-nes in Ner Chanukah is essential to the mitzvah itself. And chiddush number two is that the bracha is a precondition in fulfilling the mitzvah of pirsum ha-nes, which is essential to Ner Chanukah. And therefore we derive the conclusion that the normal principle of universal principle of safek brachas lahakel does not apply to Ner Chanukah. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah tells us that if the period of time of Tichla Regel Menashuk passed, then we have to light with a bracha, because according to that opinion, which is the second teretz of the Gemara in Chaf Aleph, that requires a hadlak even after Tichla Regel Menashuk, we can only facilitate that mitzvah if we add the bracha. Again, this is not going to help us for the Magen Avraham. This is only going to help us reconcile Beis Yosef with the Shulchan Aruch. How could the Beis Yosef say that after Tichla Regel Menashuk is a safek, and we have to light because of that safek, and then in the Shulchan Aruch he says, the way the Mishnah Berurah interprets it, that he lights with a bracha after Tichla Regel Menashuk. That we can reconcile in the light of Rav Yaakov Emden. However, we're still stuck with the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that as far as Tichla Regel Menashuk is concerned, after that period of time, you have a chiyuv bracha b'taras, chiyuv mitzvah b'taras safek, but yet he has to leave out the bracha. So if we go back to the Magen Avraham a second time, which is again on page 3, he quotes another possibility that goes by Manius, and he wants to say that we can fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsum Ha-Nes even after Tichla Regel Menashuk. And why is that? Kol Zman Shebnei Habayis Ni'orim. As long as the members of the household are awake. If they're sleeping, then he should not make a bracha on Ner Chanukah. So that the Magen Avraham, at the end of the day, is going to take pretty much the same position as the Mishnah Berurah in the Mechaber, in the Shulchan Aruch, with one distinction. According to the Mishnah Berurah, you can light the candles of Ner Chanukah up until Alos HaShachar with a bracha. According to Magen Avraham, it all depends. It's contingent on the fact that the Bnei Abayis are awake. Meaning the Mishnah Berurah is understanding that even if there's no possibility of Pirsum HaNes, because again, it's the middle of the night, dead black night, you know, 3 a.m, there's no one in the shuk, there's no one in the house that's awake, you can still be Mekayim this mitzvah because we're going to rely on the second opinion in the Gemara, and there is no limitation of Anshe Tichla Regel Min HaShuk. And then you add the Mara Ktzia, that therefore we're going to make a bracha. But according to Magen Avraham, no. We must have Pirsum HaNes. And if we can't have Pirsum HaNes to the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, we need to have Pirsum HaNes for the Bnei Abayis. And therefore, he has this limitation rule and his condition that has to be fulfilled. You need the Erim Bnei Abayis. They're still awake. Now, let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Who's talking? Oh, Yechiel is talking. That's why I didn't see you, Yechiel. I didn't see you raise your hand.
My hand's up. Well, the Magen Avraham would touch it differently for a place like New York, where people out on the street in some neighborhoods all the time, versus a small village somewhere.
Correct. But again, you have to add the condition that he's lighting outside the house. It's New York City, like you say. There are people on the streets till all hours. And then he can fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. But the Mishnah Berurah is saying, no, we don't need Anshe Tichla Regel Min HaShuk. And we can light the candles. Now I'm looking for the Shaar HaTziyun. Again, it's very small here. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to read it. It's on page 3. And it should say Sifkaton Yud Zayin. And he begins by quoting the Magen Avraham, and then he quotes a sefer called the Chemed Moshe. I don't know who he was, but obviously he was one of the Gedolei Achronim, because the Mishnah Berurah wouldn't rely on him unless he was really somebody great. His name was probably Moshe, but I don't know his last name. I think he was a Brisker. Anyway, he says the following, that the Chemed Moshe is cholik on the Magen Avraham, and the Chemed Moshe relies on the Shulte Giborim, who quotes the Riyas. Now that's all published on your page 1. You'll see on page 1 the Shulte Giborim, and that's on the bottom left. Or I should say the last source on your page. And the Shulte Giborim says, the Afsha Omeid Levado Bein HaGoyim Bein HaNochrim is nevertheless Chayv LaHadlik Ner LiAtzmo. Okay, so what do we have over here? We have a Chiddush here of the Shulte Giborim to the effect that you can have Pirsum HaNes Lo Levado. In other words, the Shulte Giborim is not willing to recognize Pirsum HaNes for the Goyim, but nevertheless, even if he's alone amongst the Goyim, he can have Pirsum HaNes in his own household. Now the next line is a little bit confusing. He says, V'afal pi she'ishto madlekes bebeso. Now he's on a business trip. He's out there in China, or I don't know, in Taiwan, or wherever he is. His wife is lighting on his behalf in Clanton Park. Sharei ein anes mefursam etzlo. Now this is amazing. There are a number of chidushim here in the Shulte Giborim. Chiddush number 1 is that Pirsum HaNes has nothing to do with Goyim. Chiddush number 2 is that even though his wife lit for him in his house, he still should be lighting wherever he is. That's a big chiddush. And chiddush number 3 is that if he's out there amongst the Goyim, what possibility does he have? What significance would he have in lighting Ner Chanukah? Where's the Pirsum HaNes amongst the Goyim? And the answer is, It's ner liatzma. And because of came bepshitus, says the Mishnah Brura, sheyadlik bebracha, it sounds like the Shulta Gemara is not wavering about this. It's not like a, you know, a fallback position, but this is the way he's mekayim the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and he's therefore going to make a bracha. However, says the Mishnah Brura, Ela Vadai, Sheim Yachol, Im Yachol, I can't see it here, Im Yachol, Im Yachol Lefarsim, Hadlaka Bifnei Rabim, Yoser Odif. Ileka Noshim is Bishvil Zelo Yevata Mitzvah. Kein Mirali, V'chein Nogim Olam. Do you see that V'chein Nogim Olam? It's the last line in the Shaar Tzion. In other words, the Mishnah Brura is saying that we're going to rely Halacha L'maisa on this sheet of the Shulta Gemara, which means that you can light Ner Chanukah for yourself. Again, that's not the best way of doing it, but if you have no choice, that's what you're going to do. Then he writes, "V'safek brachas lahakum mikolokom misha rotza linog kavase ein mochin biyado." Again, the Mishnah Brura interpreted that according to the Riaz in the Shulta Gemara, you can make a bracha even though you're the only one who's seeing the Ner. Which means that this pirsus of Anes liatzmo. And the Mishnah Brura says, although he hesitates because of Safek Bracha, but he says if you want to rely on the Riaz, is Ein Mochim Biyado. We're not going to make a protest about it. So again, it comes out that the Magen Avraham Lishitaso was insisting absolutely on some sort of person on this. If it's not for the B'nai Rishus Arab, it's for your family members who are awake. The Shulta Gemara, on the other hand, says that there's no need to, in other words, that the mitzvah in Erechanik is not contingent upon the possibility of person on this lacherim, even to the B'nai Abayas. It's enough that you're in China and you're lighting the Erechanik for yourself. Now on page 3 you'll see the Tshuva here of Moshe Feinstein. And he says the following. He says, Nechleku, what is this machlokus about? Is the geder of Persume Nisa, Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, is a chelik migufa mitzvah? No, Morgan Avram says that Persume Nisa is absolutely essential to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It defines the mitzvah. And therefore you must have some element of pirsum anes. If it means for the B'nai Abayis, then they have to be awake. However, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, according to the Chemed Moshe, pirsum anes is rak prat b'kiyum ha-mitzvah. Now again, his language is a little bit ambiguous. He calls it a prat b'kiyum ha-mitzvah. I would have called it a Tosefes Kiyum. I think that would have been more, you know, just pedagogically more clear. Umishum kach ein din zeli kuva v'rashoy lahadok afiluk shenimtza levada. So understand that Rav Moshe Feinstein is not willing to interpret the Riaz as this pirsum anes liatzmo. Pirsum by definition means liacherim. But however, that's only a prat, or as we called it, a tosefes. And therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein, paskins halacha l'maisa, like the Chemed Moshe, and he allows for a person to be madlik himself. Now, I don't know how many pages of this very long essay you have printed, but on page 9, there's a tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef in Chazon Avadya, and he writes, Mishalo hidlik v'tchilas halayla v'igil abeso b'shal mucheres v'chol b'nei abayis kfar nirdumu, they're all asleep, He says, "If yachala hayer echad oshnayim v'bnei abayis hinei matov v'yivlav yivarech v'yad likner chanukah." In other words, Rav Avadia Yosef has no compunctions and no inhibitions about a person lighting for himself. So if he's in China, that's what he's going to do. And he himself quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach as a Tana de Messiah Le, v'chein hora hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. The Sharat Zion says that this is a machlokus between the Magen Avram and the Seichemed and the Chemed Moshe, therefore, Sofek Brachos Lakalei Levarech. He says, Hare, HaChemed Moshe Siyim Shenoagim HaOlam Levarech. The Chemed Moshe testifies to the fact that the Minhag HaOlam is to make the Bracha. Uklal Gadol Biyodein. Sofek Brachos B'makom Minhag Lo'amin. We don't say Sofek Brachos Lahakel against the Minhag. The Ode, he says, "Kan amachlokas iba mitzvah velo bibracha." Ukahai gav the law amrin and suffik brachas lahakim. Now, I'm not sure what he means here, but if you apply the logic of the Maruk Tzia, it makes a lot of sense that as far as the mitzvah is concerned, we can establish based on this debate that he can fulfill the mitzvah and he's obligated to do so according to that shita. That he has Pirsum Hanes Liatzmo, or that Pirsum Hanes is only a prat in the mitzvah. And once you're establishing that he's chayiv in the mitzvah, b'meila, he's chayiv in the bracha as well. And we don't apply the principle of suffik brachas lahakim. What I can't understand, Rabbosa, is why he doesn't quote the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Magid Mishnah, in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, quotes a very famous Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rambam Paskins, that in a case of a suffix, you don't know if you recited Kriyat Shema or not, then you recite Kriyat Shema L'chumra with the brachos. So the Magid Mishnah asks, why would you say Birchas Kriyat Shema? Suffix brachos lahakil. So he quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba, I think it's in Perek Gimel Milchus Kriyat Shema, and the Rashba writes that once we paskin L'chumra on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, then they have to make the bracha. Notice the bracha was a takana on the Kriyat Shema. If you chayiv in Kriyat Shema, then mimeli you chayiv in the bracha.
So one second, I'm sorry. So he's saying you do say a bracha, Rabbi Yosef?
According to Rabbi Yosef, you should make a bracha even though you're alone and there's no one else to see the Ner Chanukah. And we're going to rely on the Chemed Moshe for two reasons. Reason number one is because the Chemed Moshe himself testifies that that's the minhag, and we don't apply the principle of Safek Brachas Lahaka when there's a minhag. And reason number two is because once we go L'chumra, as far as the Hadlok is concerned, and Mitzad Safek Chiv, he's got to light the candles, then Mimele makes the Bracha. It's not a case of Safek Brachas Lahaka. Safek Brachas Lahaka is when you have a Bracha and you don't know whether you're obligated in the Bracha. But if the Bracha is attached to a mitzvah, once you machria in suffik that you chayav in the mitzvah, mainly you make the bracha, you don't apply suffik brachas lahak.
Right, but Rav, how are you connecting it to Kriyat Shema is d'oraisa?
No, I'm just saying Kriyat Shema is d'oraisa. But now I have to know whether to recite brichas Kriyat Shema. If I'm not,
I understand, but that whole concept is locked into Kriyat Shema. Here you're talking about
suffik d'oraisa
l'chumra.
Right, but suffik
d'oraisa
l'chumra. Wait, so wait a minute. I'm not sure what you're saying, but you can ask a general question here. In the case of Ner Chanukah, why not apply the principle of suffik d'rabbana l'kula? But let's leave that out. Let's say that suffik d'rabbana l'kula only applies to Isurim and it doesn't apply to mitzvahs. That's a shir unto itself. So when it comes to mitzvahs, we say suffik even in a mitzvah d'rabbana l'chumra. Right? We don't know whether to have haseb on the first two cups of wine or the second two cups of wine. So we'll have haseb on all four cups of wine. And in Tveria, you don't know whether to read the Megillah on Yudalit or Tesvav. We'll read it on both days. Because suffik l'chumra even though it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Fine. But what I'm saying is that whenever you apply the principle of suffik l'chumra, that's well and dandy bishleim l'gavi the mitzvah itself and implementing the mitzvah. But when you get to the question of bracha, here we have a principle of suffik brachas l'hakel. So how could the Rambam obligate me in reading birchas kriyat shema in a case of a suffik? Why not apply the principle of suffering prophets lahakil? Says the Rashba that the nature of the takon of birchas kriyashma is that kriyashma is always read kimitzvasa with its brachas. That was the takon. The takon was that the mitzvah of kriyashma requires the brachas. We're saying the same thing here in Ner Chanukah, according to the Maruk Tzia, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah requires lighting a candle with its bracha. Rav Avad Yosef does not mention the Maruk Tzia. Rav Avad Yosef is built on the fact that whenever your suffix starts with and is fundamentally locked in to a suffix in a chiyuv mitzvah, then once you machriya the suffix in the mitzvah, is memela, you make the bracha. That's his opinion. And you don't apply the principle of suffix brachos lahakim. So he says the following. He says, according to Rishonim, the Rambam that we saw before, Ein lahadlik bebracha liachas shekolsa regel ben ashuk shemikavon ubitchilas halayla huzman sheyesh pirsu anes shelokolsa regel ben ashuk lo rotzu chacham lesaken sheyesh man hadlaka b'di'eved gam liachar zman zeh. So basically he says the following, that those Rishonim, and the Rambam is at the head of the list, who preclude the possibility of Ner Chanukah after Kol Sa Regel Men Ashuk, they are of the opinion that Chazal made a takona that there's a certain period of time where Pirsum Anes is optimal, and the Chacham did not want to set up a takana that would allow for Zman Adloka B'di'evet. That they didn't do. And the Chachamim have the power, the authority to establish the mitzvah the way they want to establish it. And they established it that the best way of doing this mitzvah, he calls it a Kiyum of Zrizus, is B'tchilas Zman Azeh. And therefore the Rambam holds that there never was a takana on a different period of time. And just like we know that at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Doraisa applies the entire night, but the Chachamim made a takana that you have to read Kriyat Shema before Chatzos. He uses that as an example, as an analogy. So too here in Ner Chanukah, although the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah theoretically could be fulfilled after Tichel Zman, but that's the way they established the Zman of Ner Chanukah. So although you might argue logically that B'di'evet I should be able to light after Tichel Regel Men Ashuk, but the Rabbana never allowed that. Their takana was to set up Zman Hadlaka, and there's no room for B'di'evet. It's got to be the way L'chatchila the Zman Hadlaka was established. And last but not least, we have Rav Yosef Sholem El Yashiv, who's quoted here on page 5 in the Shvus Yitzchak, that even according to the Magen Avraham, when he lights Bizman Hadlaka, in other words, before Tichel Regel Men Ashuk, and he lights with a bracha, is Malik B'bracha Gam Kishain Pirsum Anes L'Acherim, as long as he's lighting within that Zman, he doesn't need Pirsum Anes. That was the example I gave you before. What happens if he lights at this period of time, but there's no one around? You know, something big is going on in town. Everyone went to the circus. As the circus visited the town, he says, you're still Yotze. Why? Because you lit at the time period of Pirsum Anes. You don't need the Pirsum Anes befall, but rather Pirsum Anes requirement defines the Zman. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the Rambam Shita, it defines the Zman as Ad Shetichel Regel Men Ashuk. According to the Magen Avraham, it defines the Zman Adloka as far as making the bracha is concerned. And even if there's no Pirsum Anes befall, and if you remember the Magen Avraham spoke about the fact that he can be Mefarsim the Nes to his Bnei Bayis, and the answer is that once he fulfills the Hadlaka and he creates an Ner Chanukah at a time which is roy lepirsimanes, that certainly is enough. And finally, on page one, you'll see the riff. And the riff is all the way on the bottom of your page one. And the riff says that there's a zman kavua called chatzi shir. Now, it's from Shkia, you have a half hour. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this riff. In other words, they don't say, well, it's a time period whenever there's somebody out there in the shuk, which would mean that it's relative to place and time. But it seems like it's an absolute shir kavu of zman, and then zman adlocha was established as the chatzi shah, the first half hour after shkir. But if we go back to the Rambam in Perkei Halacha, hey, kama hu hazman hazeh kimo chatzi shah o yeser. And once again, if we get back to the Shmuz Yitzchak that we quoted earlier, why did the Rambam add the words "Oh yes, sir"? So they quote the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev, who says that the Rambam meant to tell us that the shear of Tichlo Regem and Ashuk depends upon each makom kimin hago, and therefore the "Oh yes, sir" was added by the Rambam. So it's not an absolute chatzi shah. If it were, then the Rambam wouldn't have added the words "Oh yes, sir." And if you take a look at the Ritva, which is on page one, he says explicitly, "B'chol makom adavar kifi mashahu." Every place relative to that place, that's called ad shetichle regel min hashuk. Okay, then that's where we're going to stop, and hopefully, Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll try to finish this up next time, and maybe we'll add a little bit about the contemporary, technological advanced issues of Pirsum on this.